Let's go to 3 John 1. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We're just going to shake the devil's tree today. The elder to the beloved Gaius, whom I love in truth. Beloved, I wish that you prosper and be in all things and be in health just as your soul prospers. For I rejoiced greatly when brethren came and testified of the truth that is in you, just as you walked in the truth. Now, like, once again, we're working with three things. We're talking about your health, your healing. We're talking about your prosperity. We're talking about your healthy relationships. And Wednesday, we talked about the fact that you need to get you fixed before you can help and love others correctly. So you come out of that rejection syndrome and you come into the place where you're walking in the love of God. Doesn't mean you won't make mistakes. It just means that you're going to do better than ever. And so, like I said, by grace. And we talked about the easiest way is the same way we do everything according to the Bible. You do it by faith, by grace. You confess. I declare that I'm dead to my flesh and alive to God. What are we saying? We're saying that a dead man doesn't feel anything. So if you insult me, if you persecute me, if you do whatever it is that you're going to do, I can't feel it if the old man's dead or I'm dead to my flesh. So it's not going to affect my life. It'll keep me out of a lot of chaos. You got to watch what you're listening to and who you're listening to. Right. So, but even if you do pick it up and have to hear it, you can do something about it and you can do something about your own mouth and so on and so on. So today though, we're going to come on over and talk about prosperity. Now, prosperity is not just money. Mm-hmm. Prosperity is the ability to take the ability of God and bless mankind. So this is not a money-hungry sermon, okay?
Yeah.
You know me, and you know who I run with. And we're all trying to get something to you, not from you. Now, so it is finances, but it's so much more than finances. It's about success. It's about favor. It's about victory in your life, victory in all the areas that we were just talking about. It's about moving ahead. It's about not staying in the same place. It's about being able to influence people in a good way, not buy them off, but you have the power to influence someone. There's a scripture about that in the Old Testament. It says people don't listen to poor people. They love them. They don't have any influence over anybody. When's the last time you got out on the corner and asked that person for advice? You know what I'm talking about. See? Because that's not where you want to get it. We love. Sometimes you're called to give to those people. Sometimes you're not. But the truth is that you're looking to get advice from someone who's already done what you want to do. That's the way. Mentors are the shortcut in life.
Right.
Someone who's done it and is good at it, you want to know what they know.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Now, the motivation for accumulation is distribution. This is something the church understands. The world doesn't understand this. The world understands get all you can all you get, and sit on the can. But in our realm, we understand that we're accumulating so that we can distribute at proper places in proper time. It doesn't mean that you're giving everything in your life away. The scripture says that God gives seed to the sower and bread to the eater. So he's telling us that he gives you enough financially, in favor, in success, that you have enough and you're able to give. 2 Corinthians 9:8, right?
Yeah.
You're like, Pastor, we know this. We'll know it again.
Yeah.
And so There are certain things that we learn that cause us to prosper, and this is what we've talked about for years when we talk about this subject. But the first thing that you need, you have to understand some things. The first thing you need to understand is blessing. Blessing is not what you say at the table when you're going to eat. Blessing is not what you say when someone sneezes. The blessing is actually an anointing to prosper that was placed on man. He was placed on Adam, Noah. So on down, when we got to Abraham, we began to understand the blessing because it actually laid it out and told us that he was to get blessed so he could be a blessing. And then we see him doing all the things that a blessed person does. Tithing, giving, all those things. Okay, so we need to understand the blessing. And when the blessing is working, you're not toiling. I'm not talking about lack of activity. I'm talking about you're not toiling in here and in here.
Yeah.
Amen. Okay, so we need to understand that. We need to understand favor. Favor is the road to success. And favor is something that belongs to you. Amen. And then we need to understand God's intentions about your prosperity. This isn't about mammon. This is about prosperity. God's intentions. You have to understand seed time and harvest if you're going to get somewhere in this. You have to understand tithing and giving if you're going to get somewhere in this. You have to understand that there are two systems. And God said if you serve one, you'll hate the other. The choice is God and mammon. Mammon is a personal wealth. That's get all you can, sit on the can thing I was talking about. But when you serve God with your finances, you're in a whole new realm.
Yeah. Praise God.
Are we going to come up a level on this, church?
Yes.
Okay. So, you have to understand the systems. The kingdom of God is about you having money and success. The world or mammon is about money and success having you. And the test will come as you prosper. When God Almighty asks you for something. You can have the best intentions, but it really would behoove you to check yourself out from time to time. Make sure you're not getting into the love of money. Okay? Now, you also must understand faith and that faith works by love. You need to understand covenant. Covenant's very important when it comes to prosperity. You need to understand the blessing blockers. You need to understand that God is not stopping the blessing.
Right.
If it stops, it would be because you get plugged up.
Right.
Yeah. And so, because he's already settled these things. But you'll have to be making some choices that won't hinder and hurt the blessing on your life. And then here's something else you need to understand if you're going to prosper. You'll need to understand poverty and poverty mentality. Amen. You must uncover religious lies about prosperity and poverty. Nowhere in this book is it written that you should take a poverty vow. Nowhere in this book is it written that a preacher takes a poverty vow. In fact, it says over in Galatians 6 that the teacher should be blessed with double. It says you ought to bless someone who teaches you. That's what it said. That's why we do it. That's why we send offerings all over the world. Our teachers. Amen. Now, above all these things that I just mentioned, you have got to nail it down for sure that God is good. That he's not the troublemaker. That he's not the sickness maker. God can't make people sick and then Jesus healed all of them. That's a kingdom divided. It won't stand. God is good. He doesn't have cancer. He doesn't have sickness. The Bible clearly says in John 10:10 that the thief came to steal, kill, and destroy, and that Jesus came to give life more abundant. And if you'll start drawing that line, that just, church, that got me out of so much religion. That changed my life forever. You know, before that, I didn't even want to go to church. I was happy in the pool hall. Because, you know, God's going to get you. God's going to get you. Turn or burn. Turn or burn. That's not God. Someday I'll tell you a story about that. Maybe not. Those people might be watching. Okay. So let's just start here today. Let's have some basic thoughts and tools, truths about this. What does God really think about you prospering? And where are we going to find the answer to that? Of course, in the book. That's where we're going to find the answer. Isaiah 48:17 says, "Thus says the Lord, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, I am the Lord, your God, who teaches you to profit, who leads you by the way you should go." This did not say, "I am the Lord your God who will teach you how to take a poverty vow and this will humble you and make you straighten up." It said, "I'm going to teach you to profit." In other words, I'm going to teach you to have success. I need you to have success so you can be an influence. I need you to have success so that you will be a witness that I am good. God wants you to profit. He wants you to know some things that are conducive to you doing well, spirit, soul, and body. Just from this one verse, we can see that he wants you to do well. And there are so many verses. Amen? When God brought Israel out of Egypt, these are his people, right? They're in slavery. He's leading them out.
Right.
And he didn't say, "Now, okay, y'all are slaves, but I want y'all to just get on out, go out in that wilderness, do the best you can." But why not just leave them in there? It's teaching them a lesson. No. He wanted them out so they could worship the true God. They could be his people. And so he leads them out. But when he leads them out, he says, "Go knock on the door of the Egyptians and ask them for stuff." Did you hear me? I said stuff. And so they came out with silver and gold. I know one thing, they came out with enough gold to build a calf. But anyway, they did. So they came out blessed, but did you know there's something else they came out with? The Bible said none were feeble among them. They all, grandma was trekking. She was... Dun, 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 dun. She was cruising. Everybody was doing good. So they came out in health and they came out in wealth. Enough to finance where they were going. You're coming out in health and in wealth. You're coming out in deliverance. Being delivered, fully paid for, fully whole, if that's what you'll choose. And then you can help some other people. Amen. They were whole people. They were whole, church. They're whole. Now, they got the whole package. What do you think God thinks about your prosperity? Psalm 35:27. "Let them shout for joy and be satisfied and praise the name of the Lord your God who has dealt wondrously with you, and my people shall never be put to shame." I'm sorry, I mixed two verses. Let me start over. "Let them shout for joy and be glad that favor my righteous cause. Yea, let them say continually, let the Lord be magnified, which hath pleasure in the prosperity." What? What? Wait a minute. Pleasure? Pleasure in prosperity. Well, God has pleasure in your prosperity? The word of the living God. He takes pleasure in you prospering. He doesn't take pleasure in greed, but he does take pleasure in prosperity. And I read the other, that was pretty cool hooking them together, but I glanced down here. So Joel 2:26 says, you shall eat in plenty and be satisfied and praise the name of the Lord who has dealt wondrously with you, and my people will not be put to shame. You're not going to be put to shame. The Bible says, I've been young and I've been old and I've never seen the righteous begging for bread. See, that's not supposed to be you.
Amen.
You're not supposed to have to beg. You're supposed to be able to help those who might need something. See, but the thought is, if I'm preaching this right now, there might be someone in here that says, I sure wish y'all to hurry up and prosper because I need y'all to help me. No, you're the giver. You're the helper. You come up to that place. Glory to God. That's the place I want to be, to help people. And we do. Thank you, Jesus. So it's pretty evident what he wants for us. Now listen to me, church. Religion doesn't want this for you. They don't like it. You're a cult. Religious people and religion do not want this for you because they have bought into one of those lies that has forever been lodged in there. We're supposed to be humble and broke. Hey, wait a minute. Hey, you. Here's your seed time and harvest book. All right. Now don't start running up here with money just because you want a book. But she was already coming. Okay. Here you go. You're serious about sewing? Have a sewing book. All right. Now, so this is not a manipulation. We're going to have more books, okay? If you want one, if you're serious about it, you're going to get one in the future. Okay, now, so there are people who could actually be okay about money until they found out, I'm going to go tough, okay? Until they found out about tithing and giving. Okay.
Yeah.
And then there's all of a sudden, they're just trying to get money out of me. Keep your money. Now, church, that's why the most ignorant, and I say ignorant, not stupid. Ignorant meaning they haven't learned, okay? Not stupid. Ignorant people, religious people, deny prosperity. It's not really because they think that it's in the Bible that you need to be poor. It's that they don't want those prosperity preachers to have their money and live up there in that rich house and fly those planes. Now you better deal with that. If you're in that current, you better deal with that because you'll be broke all your life. You'll be stifled all your life. That means you have no honor for the men and women of God. I'm so thrilled that my Father in the Lord gets to fly to where he needs to go. He can get there quicker and he can go more places. And he's gone places that the airlines don't go. He needs that like we need a building. That's so silly. But that's the voice of religion and the voice of just a bunch of lies and junk because they just want to make sure that they don't have to give instead of just saying, I don't want to give. Well, don't give. But there's this whole thing set up about it. Okay. So here's the question we should just ask them. When you gave, who did you give to? Did you give to God to honor him, to honor his kingdom? Or were you just trying to keep the lights on in the church? Now, the funds coming into the church keep the lights on. They pay the staff. A lot of money goes out to other ministries. All those kind of things are going on. But really, it's the responsibility of the leadership in the church, and they themselves are accountable to God where that money goes. And you are accountable to God to give to Him. I'm accountable to God to give with Him. When my funds go to KCM, I'm not going now. I wonder what they're doing. No. Now, where did they put my money? It's not my money after I gave it to God. Yeah. It's not my money. Yeah. I sowed it. I gave it. I tithed it to God. And then God responds to me in the spirit realm and begins to affect the natural realm, which causes the natural realm to bring in finances. And it works. Church, if I get a paycheck just like a lot of people do. And at this moment in life, I do not have another, business. I have in the past. So if I based my life on my paycheck, which is probably less than most of yours, I wouldn't be doing so well, but I do not. I base my life on my giving. And I see a harvest come in from that. Other sources, like I'll be called out to preach or someone will send me something. All sorts of finances come in because I'm using myself as an example, okay? Because I give it to God. Mm-hmm. Yes, ma'am. Take you a book right there. Thank you, Jesus. Now, then what is our part then? Let's just drop down into that. What's our part? Let's go over that. The word says a lot about it. Joshua 1:8, we're going to go through this really quick. Joshua 1:8 says, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate upon it day and night that you may observe to do all that is written therein, and then you will become prosperous and have good success. So if you meditate on the word, not religiously, you find out what it really says, and you meditate on the word, you're automatically going to start prospering. Amen. Okay? So number one, put the word first. Yes. The word is first. Yes. Get the hint. Your prospering's not first. The word is first. Right. And then you prosper. God is first. And then you prosper. Right. Okay. God is first in all this. That's how you're going to have a healthy relationship. That's how you're going to have whatever it is you need. That's how you're going to have health. That God is first. Husband's not first. Wife is not first. Children are not first. God is first. And when God is first, you're going to have good, healthy relationships. I don't know. I just feel like I need to say this right in the middle of this. Mamas and daddies, the children aren't first. You two are first with each other. Don't be siding up with the kids against your spouse. It's you and him. It's him. It's you and her. You and me against the world. Sometimes it feels like. Hey, I can sing again.
Glory to God.
So I haven't been able to carry a tune since the laryngitis incident. And so it's been really bad at our house. So, okay. All right, put the word first. Next, Psalm 92:13. Those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of God. They shall bear fruit in old age. They shall be fresh and flourishing. Stay planted. Stay planted. Next, Malachi 3:10. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse. This is going to be a challenging one here. I'm going to go after it. That there may be food in my house, and try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open the windows of heaven and pour out for you a blessing that there may not even be room enough to receive. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sake so that he will not destroy the fruit of your ground, nor the vine fail to bear fruit for you in the field, says the Lord of hosts. And all the nations will call you blessed, for you will be a delightful land, says the Lord of hosts. So number three is tithe. Now we may get some, whoa, now that's Old Testament. Well, let's think about this. If that's Old Testament, and it is, a lot of people say that in the New Testament, under grace, we don't, quote, have to tithe. Church, I have a newsflash for you. You didn't have to tithe at any time.
Yeah.
You have your own life. You have your own choice. You don't have to do anything. God gave you a free will. You don't ever have to darken this door again. You don't have to you don't have to serve God. You don't have to do anything. It's about honoring God.
Yeah.
It's about honoring God. You get to. And so, you know, the interesting thing is that, I'm 10%. I'm not going to give God 10%, 10%, but you're giving MasterCard 25%. And you don't even think a thing about it.
Wow. Home run.
I see the ball going over the fence on that one. I see the ball go over the fence. And Margaret said, touchdown. Yeah, we're on the same team, Margaret. Go, girl. That's just fun. Praise the Lord. Hey, you can get a book right there. Hey, listen, I'm not selling the books. Let me explain to the new folks. I know there's some new people here. When I'm preaching, doesn't matter if it's on prosperity or any other subject, healing, or people will walk up and give because they're sowing into the anointing that's on the word.
Yeah.
I just was trying to find a way to give out books to people who I know are sowers, and so that's what I'm doing. However, there'll be more books. We're not trying to get you to come up and do that, okay? So don't start thinking that. We will not merchandise the anointing. They're just sowing into what they are sensing in their spirits.
Yeah.
And I'm just giving away the books because I'm investigating givers.
Yeah.
Which will not totally be done by whether you walk up here or not.
Yeah.
Okay, so don't go there.
Right.
Don't start thinking, well, I went over to that church and they're selling books while they're preaching. No, we're not. But that's how crazy people are.
Yeah.
They'll turn everything around that you do. Some people, not everybody. Okay, let's move on. All right, Proverbs 3:9 says, honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of your increase. So shall your barns be filled with plenty, and vats will overflow with new wine. Now, these things are all in the Old Testament, but if you're going to take away the tithing, then take away what goes with the tithing. The devourer being rebuked, the windows of heaven being opened. So take that out too. However, then you're going to say to me, yeah, but Jesus paid. Okay. And that's right. That's true. Jesus paid. Jesus opened the windows of heaven. The windows of heaven are not closed over you. If they're closed, you're closing them. The devourer has been rebuked. You have to enforce it. The truth is, in the Old Testament, they honored and they were blessed. Now, he blessed, so we honor. Okay? I want to do it. I understand. I love Jesus. I love Father. I'm so thrilled with him. And so thrilled with my personal relationship with him, with you, ours together, how he functions. I'm so thrilled. I'm so thrilled with this word. Why would I do any other thing but honor the God of the universe? Particularly, at least 10, and not, here you go. I know you didn't buy it now. Take it. I'm sowing back to you. Sowing back to you. What? Who are you pointing to? Amen. I'm sowing. All right. What? Come get it. I'm sowing back to you. Who was it? Who came up and didn't get anything? She got it.
You got it?
It stopped. We're on TV, Deb. Okay. Moving right along. We can't edit this. It's live. 2 Corinthians 9:6, but this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. He who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. You're sowing and reaping. Okay, so let each one, as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or out of necessity. For God loves a cheerful giver. In other words, and a lot of pastors don't want to add this, but I'm telling you, don't give because someone emotionally tried to beg you out of something.
Right.
Give when God prompts you to give.
Right.
I'm never going to be caught up in that stuff. Well, won't you give to us? Because, well, no. If there's a body need here, we'll just say, let's put our faith out on it. Those that you that want to give, for example, we're getting new signs. We're going to talk about that and sometime in the future. We'll call for it. You do it or you don't do it. But most of the time, we don't even go there. We're not going to get caught up in that. We're not going to get caught up into the preaching was so great I gave and I shouldn't have. Well, granted, the preaching is great, but... No. If it's great, it's because God does it. I'm just a girl with the Holy Ghost. But he is good. We're having fun, aren't we? Anyway, you become a cheerful giver. You do it when you know in your heart it brings you joy. Not because someone demanded it out of you. I remember a long time ago, we were in this meeting, a prayer meeting, and this one lady looks at this other lady, and this lady has a big old stone. And she says, the Lord just spoke to me and told me that you should give me that. I wanted to put her out of that house. I didn't because it wasn't my house. Now, that stuff is junk, church. Okay. But become a cheerful giver. And then Luke 6:38 says, give and it shall be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together. Can you see that the kingdom of God's about giving?
It is.
It's about giving. Running over will put, and running over will be put into your bosom, for with the same measure that you use it, it shall be measured back to you. So you measure, if you give a teaspoon, you're going to get a lot of teaspoons. If you get a dump truck load, you're going to get a lot of dump. It's the measure that you measure with multiplied.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Got it?
Good. Yeah, that's good.
Okay. Now we're going to go down the home trail here. Jeremiah 29:11 says, for I know the plans and thoughts that I have for you, says the Lord, plans for peace and well-being and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope. Number 5, get a plan. Get a plan. I know some of you have had such success when you got a plan on how to get out of debt, when you got a plan on how to budget, when you got a plan and you did some things. And so, get that plan. And this is really big. You can have a book. I give you a book, Debbie. There's much to this. This is where everyday stewardship comes in. Okay? Everyday stewardship. Oh, no, now we're going to talk about me. No, I'm just going to give you some friendly advice, and you can take it or not take it. So we're going to work on that for just a few minutes. And listen, there are some things that are so obvious to you, but understand that there's a lot of different perceptions in this room, a lot of different perceptions out there. So we go through these things, and we cover all these things to make sure. I have heard some of the dumbest things come in reviews. Copeland doesn't believe in the blood. Because they picked something out of a sermon that was said a little different. Dumb stuff like that. So you got to watch out what people... Some people are drifting off thinking about, we're going to Chinese or we're going to... So, and then they get back on and they're like, what? What did they say? So, you know, it's all about perception. Right? If you see someone have a little fender bender out here, 5 people have 5 different witnesses to it. And they came and they plowed into it. Well, they barely bumped them on this side. Well, everybody's got a different perception. Okay, now, high expectation on wrong information. Poverty is a mentality. It is not a bank account or the lack of a bank account. It starts in the mind. There are people who have plenty of money in the bank and they have a poverty mentality. It's amazing, but some people wear the same clothes for 20 years because they're afraid if they go buy something, they won't get it back. They're afraid if they give something, they won't get it back. They're afraid if they buy your lunch that they'll be in lack. They're afraid. You've probably seen that in your life a time or two of people. If I don't hold on to it, but they wouldn't tell you that, but it's there. They wouldn't tell you that, but it's there. So if that's you, pray about it. They're going to save every KFC salt and pepper. They're going to squeeze every drop out of every bottle. They avoid fellowship so they won't have to pay for the coffee. And there are those who can't rise above their check, their paycheck, or their monthly check. Okay? Well, my check. Well, where's my check? Well, I need my check. Did I get my check? And they run out of money before a month because their whole life is based on that check. But you, your life is not based on that. You get the check. You take the check. But there's more for you. And you're going to have to start believing that. You're going to have to start believing that. And if you're anchored down to that, it's time to start making some confessions about that. Well, I just have my retirement. That's all I have is my retirement. Did you hear yourself? That's all I have. That is not all you have. You have been giving and giving and giving, and you have riches in glory. When it's just your check, then that's your source. And your check is not your source. And then there are people, make sure I have a clear path out the door, Danny. There are people who can't recognize that their spending needs to change. Some people, they finally start getting a little money, and this is what my mom used to say. She'd say, that money's just burning a hole in your pocket. That's what she'd say, because as soon as we got the money, you know, for something, some way we got money, you know, we had to just go get rid of it all and get something, you know. So it's good to allow the Holy Spirit to teach you about your spending. A good rule for me is that if I see something I think I really want, I'll walk away from it. And if it stays with me and I've prayed about it or whatever, I'll go back and get it. Now, I'm not talking about some crackers on the shelf or something. I'm talking about when you're going to make a serious purchase. But, you know, you can watch the crackers too. But, you know, if you needed a new washing machine and they said, this is the state of art. It does all these things. Look, coffee comes out of the side of it. Well, I just sold one. Bing. You might want to walk away and ask the Lord about it. You know what I don't like? I don't like the salesman who badmouths everybody else to sell themselves. I don't like the preacher that does that. Well, I mean, I love them, but I don't like that. I just want to know about the product. Okay, I'm moving on. Oh, we're doing good. Okay, so ask the Holy Spirit about those kind of things. And I want to say one more, and then we're going to move into just, I'm just going to name off some stuff that you'll enjoy, hopefully. But one more thing is this. There are actually relationships that will hurt your success in your finances.
Yeah. True.
Mm-hmm. So we're going to talk about that at another time. We'll talk about Psalm 1.
Mm,
it talks about blessed is the man. And there's certain things that causes you to be blessed, for that blessing to work, if you're in the right zone, I'll say. Okay, now, are you prepared for a good Holy Ghost financial future? Are you prepared? That's what we're looking at. And I'm just going to say, did you know that there's three periods of a person's life? There's the learning, the earning, and the yearning. You familiar with that? From 0 to 18 to 25, you are the learning. Your mom and dad are paying for you all the way up to college. You're a consumer making nothing. Oh, I heard it. Yeah. Well, okay. The earning period is 18 to 55 to 65. Or in my case, on up. It's going a little longer now. That's the consumer who's producing an income. And then the yearning period is, they say, 65 and up. You're a consumer, but then you're not producing income. Now, so you have 40 years. Now the days are a bit longer. In that earning period to store up harvest for your future. And so for the years when you will not earn. Listen up, 40-year-olds, 30-year-olds, 16-year-olds. So when you get to those yearning years, you start saying this, I wish I had known what I know now. How many of y'all can say that, 65ers? Yep. Mm-hmm. I wish I had known what I know now. So those of you who are trekking behind us, learn it. Darn it. Okay. This is a good, well, now you're getting off on just the flesh, the physical stuff. Yeah.
Amen.
But it's things you need to hear. It's things you need to think about. Okay. So here's an important truth, church. If you can't change your value system, your habits won't change. So you're going to have to change what you value. You value the church. You value giving. You value the people of God, the men and women of God. You value the ministries. You value certain things in your life. You value having a savings account. You value your future.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm talking about all of that. And you're not just going to be able to have a change of heart. You're going to have a paradigm shift. This is what life is all about, and this is what I'm going after. Now, two more things to keep in mind. I'm just telling you all this so you can make your decisions for this year. But I'm going to tell you something. This is probably going to be the one that you'll have to swallow the hardest. You can't borrow your way out of debt. You can't borrow your way out of debt. Somebody's got some good bass going on in their car. But you can give your way out. Yes, you can. I did it. And then God provided. When you do start seeing increase, like I said, people get excited and they want everything and want to go everywhere and want to do everything. So this is when you have to make a decision to know that you don't have to spend everything. Good Holy Ghost advice is to manage that out. Savings accounts, things to think about. Some people in here are thinking, man, I really need to catch up. Well, I'm going to give you some good news. In 2023, in 2024, you can catch up.
Amen.
These 2 years, now I'm talking about nothing's impossible with God. I'm not talking about you trying to stir it all up. I'm talking about nothing is impossible with God. God's going to give you a grace and an opportunity to come out of debt, to get blessed, to move into places you want to move into, to become influential. He's going to back you up in the next 24 months.
Yeah.
Well, Pastor, they're forecasting the worst economy that's hit us. And, yeah, I know. I said with God. You know the saying, if you keep doing what you all, same thing.
Yeah.
You remember that? If you keep doing the same thing and expecting a different result, that's insanity.
Mm-hmm.
You can't keep doing the same thing and expect different results.
Right.
Can't do it. You have to come into some paradigm shifts.
Yeah.
The good news is we do it with the power backing us. We're not out here on our own.
Right.
We've got the biggest one in the universe willing to push us ahead. How do people get out of debt in 9 months? God.
Yeah.
How do people flourish? God. How do people have success? God. He does it. He'll bring people in your path that will change your life if you'll let him. He'll send you to the best places. You'll get the best deals. You'll have the best job. You'll be promoted. All right, we'll finish up here. You're just going to have to ask yourself. Here's the question. Ask yourself this. When we ring in the new year of 2025, where will you and your family be? What will have you done about your future? What, and I'm not just talking about financially. I'm talking about prosperity. I'm talking about spiritually. I'm talking about your soul. See, your job is your ministry. It's your assignment. God put you on that assignment. Where will you be in that? Man, it got quiet. What happened to all the laughter? It's something to think about, and I've asked myself that question. Listen, I'm preaching to myself. I ask myself, where are we going to be? Where's the church going to be? What are we going to be doing? We have goals set and things like that. But personally, I've been praying and asking God, where am I going to be? It's a good question to ask. Set goals. Goals are dreams with a deadline. And if you don't set them, you're never going to see your dream come to pass. By 2025, I'm going to such and such. See, I have a goal every year of how much money I'll save because I'm eventually going to need retirement. How much money am I going to save this year? And so I put a goal on it last year and over doubled it. Why? God. So I'm setting another goal this year. I don't know, saving is fun to me. Not saving greedily, at any time I'll give it away. But just going, okay, able to do this, have it. You get extra money, ask the Lord what it's for. Is this for giving? Is this for keeping? Is this for saving? Is this for paying? You can ask him those kind of things. So set those goals. Now listen to this. Man's inflation has no effect on God's supply. Man's inflation has no effect on God's supply. He can get to you what you need. Okay? Now, listen to this. If you can't press past the inconvenience, if you can't press past the challenges that you may have to be in church, then you'll find it not easy to press past the things that come to take your life. You have to start getting some strength in the Word of God and your ability and who you are and your character. And you tell your body, you tell your soul, we will serve God. We will do this. I will get up and go to work. I will, you know, whatever it is. I will do this. I will reckon myself dead to the flesh when I'd rather knock somebody's lights out. Oh, Pastor. And I will not fake it. We could say that too, huh? Okay. Now, a couple more things. Now, I really like this as we're closing. I pray that you'll get this. If your faith is not strong enough to move your mouth, it won't be strong enough to move a mountain. If your faith is not strong enough to move your mouth, if you're just going to be quiet, if you're not going to open your mouth and say and declare, if you're not going to open your mouth and say what you want and what God wants, if you're not going to do it, then when you try to come against that devil that's trying to take your life or take your finances or take your relationship, you ain't going to make it. It's true. Because the first thing you need to be doing is opening your mouth. You need to be talking. You need to be using your believer's authority. No devil, you're not getting my health. No devil, you're not taking my wealth. No devil, you're not stealing my church. No devil, all those things. Whatever it is, or, you know, your business, whatever. But if you're just sitting around never opening your mouth, start opening your mouth at worship time.
Yes. Amen.
Well, I can't sing. Well, join the club. There's a lot of people who can't. But you can worship God.
Yeah.
You can declare things. Tonight I'm going to be preaching in Kerrville, Texas, and our theme is the commanded blessing. The Bible says over in Job that if you decree a thing, it will be established. That's why when people say, well, I guess in this economy, I'll just probably fail this year. You can have what you say. The Bible says life and death is in the power of the tongue. So if you're just going to agree with the inflation, if you're just going to agree with what's going on in the natural, if you're just going to agree with La Nina or El Nino, if you're just going to agree with the weatherman, if you're just going to agree with what they said about you and try to defend yourself, I'm not giving it my time. Well, they're talking ugly about you, Pastor. I'm rejoicing because I'm being persecuted.
Hallelujah.
That means I'm doing something for God.
Hallelujah.
They're not going to get my thought life.
Nah.
It's none of my business whether people love me. Now, strife is an increase killer. You start getting in the drama with somebody, it's going to kill your increase. It'll stop all nine gifts of the Spirit. It'll stop the flow in the church. Get the drama out. Don't bring the drama in here. Because we'll help you with that. I love people. Sometimes I've tolerated too much. I'm glad nobody said amen right there. Trying to help someone. They end up hurting people in the church and then not anymore.
Amen.
And we've been on a good rail for that for some time. But strife, it's an increase killer. You cannot leave up to God what He leaves up to you. Make sure you know your part and His part. Church, the curse is threefold. It's sickness. Okay? It is poverty and it's death. But the blessing is healing and prosperity and deliverance. It's a resurrected life. And you've been delivered. The Bible says that Christ has redeemed me from the curse of the law so that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles. You are a Gentile believer grafted in to the Jews. And they win. And we win. Let's stand up. You receive this today? Now, listen, I know I told you a lot of stuff, and for some of you who are new, it might have been a whole lot to take in. But we are a church moving somewhere. It is my determination that you get what belongs to you, that you have a good life. And so I'm going to stack you up with this stuff. You take what you can. If you can't take it all, that's fine. But take what you can and think about it and get into these things, and it'll help you make some choices. By faith, through grace, it'll help you make some choices. I'm telling you, we're going to have a good year.
Yes, we are.
You have to stay in grace about it. You go, well, I don't have a say. I don't have this. I did that. I've done all this wrong. Join the club. Everybody's done it. Get away from thinking you're the only bad person in the church. We're all good because Jesus made us good. He did it. He did it. He did it. Deb's the only one in trouble today. No, just kidding. I'm playing. Actually, it made a little fun in here. God is good. I pray that you would prosper, that you would be comfortable, that your children would prosper, that they can go to the schools of God's choice, that they can have their needs met, that they can be, that your grandchildren are provided for, that the Bible says a good man gives to his children's children. I'm on a track for that. My grandson is, so far we're doing good. Amen. Well, you know, my kids are only 5. Start now. Especially if you got a bunch of them. Mm-hmm. Amen. Start now. Start thinking about them. Mm-hmm. Can I say this to you? Your life, I'll just use y'all right here. Your life is about them and the ones they're going to produce. That's what your life is about right now. Right now, your life is about these girls and the children and their husband. It's about them right now. It's about them. It's about the grandchildren you're going to have. Well, Pastor, I'm only 30. So? It's time to think. Your life is about the children, the 41 children that are back there. That's what our life is about. It's about the next generation. Not that we're excluded, but we have to put some thought into what's going on into the future, because we're not going to raise a bunch of woke people. And I say that, I don't say that trying to be political. I say that trying to be spiritual, saying what's truth. I'm talking about truth. Father, we pray for the internet audience today. We thank you, Lord. We bless them. We thank you that they're going to prosper and be in health as their soul prospers. We thank you for the anointing on their life. Burdens are removed. Yokes are destroyed in Jesus' name. God loves you. We love you. Stay in victory. Bye.